97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
And I'm Ryan Riker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Joining us now is the Senior Director of Government Affairs for the National Taxpayers Union, Thomas Aiello. Thank you for joining us in St. Louis. We appreciate it.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So we get $9 billion clawback in the first rescission. Okay, I guess that's something. So where do you think we stand? Do you think that's enough, or do you think we should be doing more when it comes to fiscal responsibility with taxpayer money?
Yeah, let's just set the groundwork. What the Senate did yesterday was actually historic. They haven't passed a rescissions bill in 50 years. We're awaiting floor action on the House, which I think is going to take place tomorrow. They're just working out some attendance issues. But, you know, we're expecting it to pass on a party line basis. So hopefully it'll be at the president's desk tomorrow evening before the deadline, because they have until tomorrow to pass it and for the president to sign it. Otherwise, it just goes away. But yeah, it, like you said, $9 billion is the step in the right direction. It's not going to solve our budget crisis that we're dealing with. We're running $2 trillion deficits each year. It is a very, very small drop in the bucket. But you know, you start addressing a problem by saying you have a problem. So hopefully this is the first of many steps to get in the right, to get this problem solved.
So what you're saying is we need congressional intervention where they are coaxed into a room. Basically, we're not going to tell them what they're there for. And then we surprise them with, we need to have a talk about your finances.
Yeah, look, I mean, we've added $381 billion to the national debt since the House passed this bill on June 12th. That's 40 days ago. I mean, we really have a real problem in this country where we're spending $11 billion a day just on our debt. We're adding $11 billion a day on our debt. So, look, I'm happy we're actually having the conversation about clawing back money, but you know, we shouldn't oversell this to the people that this is somehow a silver bullet to the budget problems we're facing.
Okay, so what if they just keep finding more things to add to different future packages for rescission? So let's say this is a first step and they find out that it works. They find it may be the path of least resistance. So they'll say, okay, what's next? Let's go down the list of what Elon Musk put out for us and we'll just keep working down it. Is that something that you would look at as positive? Or do you think that maybe the next step is to take this momentum into something more long-term when it comes to budget talks?
Yeah, 100%. So we've known for quite a while now that the administration only sent one package as a trial balloon to see if the House and Senate were serious about clawing back some of the DOGE cuts. So we're going to pass it. That's great. I'm expecting the White House to send a few more packages over to the House and Senate in September, because remember, they're out for August recess. So in September, we're expecting a few packages that will hopefully claw back billions more dollars. But that's one part about how we address the situation that we're in. So rescissions, clawing back the money is one. We also need to get our structural budgets in order. Right now, Congress is going through that process. Now, the Speaker and the President have said we want to spend less on discretionary spending. That's things for like the military and all the other departments like Energy and Health and Human Services. We want to spend less next year than we did this year. Again, that's great. And when you take that into account with economic growth through deregulation and the President's tax cuts, I think we'll be able to not only create jobs and grow wages, but generate more tax revenue through the process. So when you take all of those things together, I think that's how we actually start to get our fiscal house in order.
I know you couldn't see this because, you know, I was on video, but when you said Congress is out in August, I gave you the biggest eye roll. I thought, oh, of course they're not going to work. So what do you do at the National Taxpayers Union? What do you advocate for?
Yeah, we advocate for an efficient government, making sure your tax dollars are spent effectively. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. As we know, we advocate for free markets and lower taxes. So a lot of our attention this year has obviously been focused on extending President Trump's tax cuts that were to expire at the end of the year. So, you know, when you take that into account, we avoided a $4.5 trillion tax increase, and we achieved a number of pro-growth tax reductions across the board, and we're keeping more money in taxpayers' pockets. So now that that tax increase is off the table, hopefully, and this is what we're advocating to Congress right now, is we passed the bill. We need to get serious about fixing our government and how much money we spend. So right now, the attention is focused on the government spending side of things. Like I said, right now, Congress is focused on allocating money for fiscal year 2026. And we're urging them to not only spend less than last year, but, you know, pass a fiscal commission that can address, look into the core drivers of our debt and offer solutions on how do we fix it, and then maybe even a return to pre-COVID spending levels. That alone on discretionary spending would save $400 billion a year, right? It's about 25% of our annual deficits, so it's not enough to solve the problem, but again, it's a real solution to address the real driver of our debt.
Yeah, here's part of the problem that you find. I live in Michigan, so I'm able to do a lot of these shows, but I lived in St. Louis for a long time. And you find that when you talk about pre-COVID dollars versus where state budgets are today, they have factored in so much bloat from government that they put it into their budgets. So all these different states have budgets that have just ballooned to the point where they're ready to explode. So the idea of cutting back federal money scares the states because they are basically spending money they didn't have to begin with in areas they didn't need to spend it to begin with. They only spent it because they were given it and told they had to spend it. So now they are deathly afraid that they're going to have to cut back themselves, just like the federal government is doing. So how does the feds go out there and cut spending without all these states collapsing and all these different people in the states saying, you know, our kids are going to be out on the street starving to death because of what Donald Trump's doing?
Sure. Well, first of all, we shouldn't believe the scare tactics that the other side is going to throw out there. And I like to say 2019 was a great year, right? We had record job creation. The stock market was at record highs and we had virtually no inflation. For all intents and purposes, it was great. And we spent about $2 trillion less that year than we're spending now. So I think if the other side were to do scare tactics and say the world is going to collapse, there'll be a fiscal calamity, I say if we return to those levels, we actually help avoid a debt problem that will cause a fiscal calamity. If we cannot pay our bills, that is going to lead to economic shocks across the board, and states are going to be in a much worse position then than they would be now if they began to cut. And I think sometimes we do need a little bit of shock therapy, especially at the state level, where you have these states that are so reliant on the federal government to balance their budgets that if some of that revenue or that funding were to go away, they would be in the red, and that's a real problem. And ultimately, what we need to see is just a return to fiscal sanity, because the alternative could be so much worse than if Congress were to turn off the spigot of largesse that flows their way.
Yep. Thomas Aiello joining us here, Senior Director of Government Affairs for the National Taxpayers Union. And I think if you look at the problems that people face on a day-to-day basis, you can say, okay, how much more is the government spending? And are there still potholes in the streets? So what are they spending it on? That's the question. Are the schools still in poor conditions? Are the test scores still towards the bottom of the barrel nationwide? What are they spending this on? If they're taking the excess, all this extra money, it's going somewhere. Someone's the beneficiary of that. It's all of these things that weren't necessary to begin with. They were only spending it for the sake of spending it. They didn't put it in areas where they really needed it. And for a lot of ways, it's the state's own faults for being so mismanaged, especially the blue states for being so mismanaged. They're out there now with their hairs on fire. So I would think that when we look at the budget and the way that is going, we can't achieve this sort of thing. The thing I'm afraid of is that this $9 billion rescission is just, they're throwing us a bone and that's going to be the end of it. Like, they're not going to go further down the road. Do you have any fear of that?
Absolutely. I mean, the margins in the House are incredibly tight and we really only have a 6-seat majority in the Senate. So politics matter in all of this. So that's absolutely a fear. What I do take comfort in is obviously the steps that are being taken by President Trump and the administration to not only reduce the federal workforce, which they can do without Congress, and you can save money that way, but also, as I mentioned, this appropriations process they're doing now. The leadership of Congress and the House and the president have said, we're going to spend less money than we did last year on discretionary spending. That is really where we will see the savings. And it's great that we're finding some savings here and there through DOGE cuts. But at the end of the day, we need to get our fiscal house in order through the regular appropriations process. And it's what really scares me is we are at our highest debt levels as a percentage of GDP since 1946. Right now, we are fighting no wars. The economy is generally pretty good. So if we were to have some sort of event like another COVID, a war, or, you know, an unforeseen economic issue, what will happen to our ability to pay our bills? And that's really what scares me. I think there is a recognition on many in the House, particularly from the Freedom Caucus and others, that we need to fix the House when the sun is shining, because there is a storm brewing just off the horizon. And if we don't fix our roof, we are going to be flooded with what will come through a debt crisis. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get that. We just need the Democratic Party to play ball through that process, but I don't necessarily think they will. So we need to find a plan B in how we address it all.
All right. Thomas Aiello, Senior Director of Government Affairs for the National Taxpayers Union. If people wanted to look you up, where can they go?
Yeah, they can go to our website, ntu.org, or they can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and LinkedIn.
ntu.org. Thomas Aiello, thank you so much for coming on today here in St. Louis. Our Chief Legal Analyst, Brad Young, joining us after the break. We're going to talk some legal issues, including witnesses taking the fifth. We'll talk about that again because it's back in the news. But the Otto Penn hearing is very interesting on all of this and how it plays into it. So I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere. 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.